friends. Welcome to Pursuing True North. I'm Jenny Scioto. Today, Catherine King and I got to interview Rachel Herman. She works at Morningstar Sanctuary as the Children's Program Manager and serves as the Residential Program Manager overseeing the shelter program. Rachel focuses on children and women who are victims of domestic and sexual violence, both in the U.S. and abroad, by providing shelter and trauma-informed care programs. Rachel is passionate about offering a safe place for children and families to be empowered, educated, and encounter healing. She personally has seen the love of Christ, and she wants to empower people to overcome and equip them with tools to transform their lives. Morningstar Sanctuary, where she works, is a program of Agape in Nashville, Tennessee. It exists to provide refuge for victims of domestic violence and their children who have fled abusive situations and help empower them to break the cycle of violence that controls their lives. All right, enough of me talking. Join with us today in this interview of this really sweet woman. I know you'll enjoy it.
Hey, Rachel. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be with you guys.
Yes. Rachel, you are the residential program manager at Morningstar Sanctuary in Nashville.
Yes, I am.
How long have you been doing this?
I have been a part of the Morningstar team for the past year.
Okay.
So last September, so just a little over a year.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we will get to some more about Morningstar and about what you do here in Nashville, but let's talk a little bit about you. Let's talk about what has God done in your life, and just a bit, whatever about your testimony that you'd like to share with.
Absolutely. Everybody. Well, it is an honor to just kind of share who Jesus has been in my life. I grew up in Indiana, in a wonderful family, two parents and an older brother, and grew up watching my parents do ministry. So my father was an associate pastor. My mother took a season to homeschool my brother and I, but then also as a children's pastor and then transitioned into being a teacher at a Christian school. So a lot of my upbringing was just watching my parents do ministry. And it really, really marked my life. I, from a really young age, got to see what relationship looked like. It wasn't about religion. I watched my parents live out their faith. Some of my favorite memories are waking up in the morning and watching my parents separately and together crack open the Word of God. And so I really say, like, Jesus was my best friend growing up, and still seems to be that way. But yeah, that just really defined a lot of my childhood and really helped me kind of ask the question, like, what is the purpose of this life? And the purpose of this life is to really bring hope and freedom into people's lives. So I am, and I'll share this a little bit about Morningstar, but I really believe words have huge, huge implications in people's lives. And my middle name, my parents, when I was born, they named me Hope. And that has become a huge part of my story, is to actually bring hope to others. And so, yeah, I just grew up with them, just seeing them do ministry. I watched them be a part of people's most significant parts of their lives, whether that was my dad marrying someone or performing a funeral or visiting people. I watched them walk out life with people and really just walk alongside, and I knew that's something that I wanted to do. So when it came to college and graduating high school, I knew that I wanted to do some form of ministry, and I knew that vehicle was going to be social work or counseling. And so I went to a small Christian university in Indiana and studied social work. And that really became just my journey to share the love of Christ, to be with people in their darkest places. My father is a really gentle man and a man of a lot of wisdom. And I remember my senior year, it was when we had the opportunity to pick our internships for our schooling, and I got selected to work in a criminal justice setting. So with addicts and people that were that were just criminals. And that was not the internship I wanted. I was like, I got in this work to help people go through all the hard things in life and not the ones that are doing the bad things. And I remember having this conversation with my father. And as I mentioned, he's pretty gentle, but when he speaks, I listen. And he goes, oh, Rachel, I'm so sorry. Like, is this about you or is this about what the Lord can do through your life? And I remember just sitting there and going, like, this is about what my life can represent and how I can bring light into darkness. And so that really changed my frame of work and what I was called to do and how I could serve the Lord in this capacity. That kind of started the journey. I actually ended up taking a job with that organization, working with criminals and working with addicts. And I remember the Lord just really clearly saying, Rachel, if you give me 2 years, I'll be faithful and I'll give you the desires of your heart. And it was 2 years to the day that I worked in that program with addicts and criminals. And in that time, I got to see what light does in darkness. I walked into jail cells and I worked actually a lot more with men in that capacity and saw the brokenness of people. And it was in that season I worked for the state and the government. So the mention of Jesus was not something that I could necessarily do. And I just remember sitting down and being like, I know what brings people into freedom and to light. Yes, I went to school for 4 years to bring skills and social work and counseling, but I know what can actually change someone's life. And just really wrestling with that because I didn't get to necessarily do it in the form or what I thought I envisioned doing. And it was in that season over those 2 years that I really felt like the Lord was like, let's pour over scripture. Let me talk to you about who I am and the foundation of that. And let me talk to you about the Holy Spirit and how the person of Jesus and the presence of Jesus can change everything.
But even with being in the environment where you can't talk about mm-hmm. Jesus and you can't talk about the Holy Spirit, even in those environments, you still hold the Holy Spirit inside mm-hmm. you. You still have light yeah. in you. And when you walk into the darkness, you can't help but see it. Even when mm-hmm. we first met you today, like it, you know, you see a picture mm-hmm. on the internet that's a picture, but yeah. to actually be able to walk in and be able to recognize that light mm-hmm. and the Holy Spirit in somebody else, like you have that, you just Thank radiate you. That. So of course, when you walked into mm-hmm. those dark places, mm-hmm. those people were going to see the light, whether you spoke it or not. Yeah. So I love how that part of your testimony, like, even though what you were thinking mm-hmm. was the way that you wanted to do things, you still had impact in ways yeah. because the Holy Spirit led you into that part of your walk.
Absolutely. And I think it is. I think it's about being surrendered and allowing Him to use you in any place in any capacity. What the Lord can do with a surrendered life, with a yes, has absolutely blown my mind. And that has really been the thing that I think He's been teaching me over the course of several years is there's seasons that we're called to different things, but we're never called to a title or a role. We're always called to Him. And so it looks like, how can I serve you best? And I knew my parents served within the four walls of the church and also outside of it, but I knew that the greatest impact could be outside of the four walls of the church. And so I saw in the jail setting, I saw things happen that, you know, I mean, you look at that even through scripture, some of the most amazing radical things happen in a jail cell.
They did happen in jail cells. Yes.
So it really was one of these things where I had to kind of come to my end and recognize, like, okay, if you can use me in this setting, like, and it is, I think it's about stewardship, you know, and Him asking, like, do I have your yes? Even when it's not what you think, because then I'm preparing for you to hold actually what I have for you. And one of my, my prayers is Lord, do not give me a crown that is too large for my head. Cause it's always been meant to be at your feet. Like, it's always something that, like, I am meant to to throw my life is for you, and it's for your glory. It's never for my glory. It's never for me to see all the things, but for people to see who you are. And so I think it's about stewarding the things that he puts in your life. And he's a really good God, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And I saw him do that. I did that for 2 years. And then I had the opportunity to move to Nashville and take a job that was really a heart passion of mine, and work with young women that were dealing with life-controlling issues from eating disorders, self-harm, and all that. And everything that I'd spent 2 years reading in the Word and really studying the Word in a deeper capacity and asking the Holy Spirit what that looks like, I actually got to do that.
And so then he gave you what you want.
Yes.
What he placed in you. Yeah. But you just had to go a different way to get there.
Yeah. So yeah, I moved to Nashville
How many years ago did you?
That was just a little over 7 years.
Okay.
So yeah, Nashville's very much home. I love, love, love Nashville. And have fallen in love with the city. And been like, how do I be a light in the city? And so yeah, did that job, worked for another organization for about 5 or 6 years working with women, and that really was able to see the presence of God, the person of Jesus that I read about, come alive in the life that I was living. And I could literally see faces, and I could tell you stories of women that I worked with that made me fall in love that much more with Jesus, because I saw him overcome and triumph and be who he is. You know, he didn't just come to save us, but actually to bring us into freedom and to rewrite a story on this side of heaven. And one of my favorite scriptures in Psalms is, you know, surely you'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Yep. I like that one too. A lot. Yes, I do.
And so I think a lot of what has been my own personal journey has been, how do I see the Lord in this side of heaven? And how do we make this side of earth look a little bit more like heaven? Because he came and he bought a high price so that people could live in freedom, so they could live in a relationship with Jesus. And if I get to be, whether it's in a moment that someone gets to be in my presence, or we get a longer conversation, or I get to walk with them for seasons and months or years, if I get to draw them closer to that, and for them to see actually that goodness can follow them the rest of their days of their life, that they can actually experience God as good, it's a good day for me.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely got to do that.
And so you did that for what, 6 years?
About 6 years.
Okay.
And so last summer I was sitting in a coffee shop in Franklin, Tennessee with a friend, and just sensing, you know when your season's changing and you yes. kind of feel like something's about to change. And I just sensed that. I sensed that there was a new thing that I was going to step into, but didn't know what that looked like. And didn't know exactly what was my job and what was God's job.
Do we ever really get yeah. to know? Because if we do, I've missed it. Like, yeah. I have missed the direct messaging of exactly what I'm supposed to be doing yes. at all times.
Yes. And I think it is. I think it's one of those things that we get
to be. It's an adventure.
It is. And we get to be dependent on him.
Yes. He's like, if I told you everything, then you would have way more independence. And that's not... The design for relationship yeah. is to be just chugging away on our own. So
yeah, it is. It does definitely make you
how fun.
Be
so
humble.
You're getting stirred in a coffee shop.
Yes,
like your coffee. Yeah,
I love Sorry. My coffee. Bad I'm pun, I'm at honest. Pun. I'm at Honest Roasters on a good Saturday morning
oh, man.
With
they
you
have
know.
A great. Iced mocha, yeah.
yeah
I
know.
Anyway,
babe.
Sorry.
I mean, I always say the best combination is Jesus and coffee.
Yes,
you know,
it's a good one.
I'm
it's
like
a good
years
one.
Always, and then set a good friend in there. I mean, you're just set up for success.
I think so.
So I think yeah, so. I will say coffee, Jesus, and then dinner at the table. Those are like my favorite things. So yeah, her and I were just sitting there, and I was like, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what. it was my job, his jobs, and but just sharing like the desires of my heart. And what do you know, I'm later on that night sitting around a table with some friends and doing some of my favorite things by just hosting a meal with friends. And I'm sitting there and my friend is telling me about this awesome opportunity where she's like, so I interviewed at this organization called Agape Nashville. Have you heard of it? And I was like, oh yeah, I've totally heard of it. I've heard of Agape and their reputation. And I'm like, yeah, they do foster care and adoption and counseling, right? And she goes, yeah, but they've got this new thing that they're doing. They're about to take on this new program called Morning Star Sanctuary, and it's a domestic violence shelter. And she's telling me about her interview and meeting some of the leadership here. And she goes, but the whole entire time I'm like, I just feel like Rachel would be really good at this job. So
funny.
I know, right?
So she talked herself out of a job.
She basically did.
And gave it to you.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it went down.
And that's a nice friend.
She is. And now she's doing some awesome work in counseling here in Nashville as well. But she knew one of the largest things that has been, that I think that looks a lot like bringing freedom, is I watch my parents not only do ministry from the pulpit or a classroom or in the four walls of a church, but my parents hosted people so well in their home. And I saw some of the most significant things happen within a home, because I think that Jesus and the kingdom looks like family. And so I love homes and I love shelters and I love, that's my jam. I say like, a lot of social workers are like, it is hard work to do residential treatment and residential living, but it's like where it's where I'll probably land for the rest of my life.
But you know what? You were given that. That was the gift of hospitality that God placed in you from the beginning. That was placing desires in your heart so that you could live out what he made you to do. I mean, I love how time and time again you can watch people walk out their faith and testimony with stuff God placed in them from a very early age. Yeah. And you know, I've got a friend who does stuff with, you know, that's amazing that I was never given. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at it and you're like, you hear from the outside, like your friends and stuff are like, this is a hard thing to do. This is but if you were made for that, if you were built for that, if that was part of the destiny God had for you, then that's awesome. You just have to get around those people and encourage them in what they're doing. Because yes, I'm sure this residential stuff is not a walk in the park, but man, you are equipped for it.
Yeah, it is. And it is. There's nothing that the Lord does not use in your life. He really does use, like you said, all the different and small pieces and the insignificant moments. I spent a lot of time right before I took this job. I spent a lot of time thinking about community around the table and about hosting and all of these different things. And the two meetings that I had at the shelter and my interviews all were at the dining room table.
Oh.
You know, you just have
this. It was just those little signs. Yeah. Those were those little signs too that God's like, see?
I'm like, I see you.
See? Do you see me right here?
That's really neat. Yeah, I did. I had a really close friend. I was the last meeting interview, I pull up and I'm like, I don't really know if this is what I'm gonna do. And I had some different opportunities and have a heart for the nations and was exploring some different things in that capacity. And she sent me a text and said, hey, I'm praying for you this morning. And I see you sitting at a table. And I see you having this conversation, you know. And then it's like, little does she know as she's praying for me and sending this text, just saying like, hey, I'm praying for your interview, that I'm moments away from coming into this home, because our shelters are not like dormitories, they're like homes. You wouldn't even recognize them. And so I come in and the person that I'm meeting with and interviewing goes, well, let's just go right here into the kitchen dining room area. And we sit down on the kitchen table. And it's some of my favorite part of what I do now with the women and the children.
Yeah. So tell me about what exactly, as a residential program manager, what you do And even just what Morningstar Sanctuary does. Yeah, so if you want to, just how you want to hit all of that beautiful ministry that you work in.
Yeah, so Morningstar has actually been around for about 30 years. It started originally from a bunch of people from a local church in Madison that just saw a need. And it started as a children's home and then eventually developed into a domestic violence shelter. So it had been around for 30 years. I'm constantly reminded that I stand on the shoulder of some people that really paved a way for this type of work and saw a need within their community, and a church said, we're going to do something about that. And so we have several different shelters in northern part of Nashville, and we provide emergency shelter care for anyone that has experienced interpersonal violence or domestic violence. And so we have a hotline that they call, or we work with just community leaders, or obviously the police department is where we are, but just several different agencies. We've got our name around there, and people call in and say, this is what I've experienced, and I need a place to live. I need a safe place. And we provide that safe place. It really is a sanctuary place where you get to kind of regroup and rebuild. As kind of the leader out there, I have these conversations with our staff saying, we meet people on sometimes their very worst day.
Oh, yeah.
But also their day of probably the bravest moment that they've ever done. You know, some of the women that we service have been in these relationships for years and not seen their worth or seen a way out. But they have a moment of clarity, and they fight for themselves, and they say enough is enough. And they have something pulling on them, and I believe it's the Holy Spirit that says, I'm going to reach out, and I'm going to get help. And so we are on the other end of that, whether it's some of my staff are picking up the phone, and they're right on the call with them in some really heightened, scary situations, and are helping them lead them to safety. And so we typically house people for about 60 days.
Okay.
And we provide basic needs. So that looks like clothing, to shelter, to food. Obviously, Morningstar is a part of Agape Nashville, the larger part. And Agape has been around for over 50 years and provides adoption, foster care, and counseling services. And so they actually acquired, and we like to say adopted, the Morningstar program just a little over a year ago. And so it really fit within their mission. And so we have some of our counselors from our main office that come out and provide counseling for the women and children that are processing through the trauma that they've been through.
Sure.
And we have advocates that are out there that are helping them just get their traction. And, you know, sometimes they come in with only the clothes on their back. So they don't have maybe their ID. They don't have any money. And so we're just helping people rebuild their lives. And so we have case managers that network, that find them housing, that help them find jobs.
I was about to say, there's got to be a transitional piece to this, because you say they stay for like 30 to 60 days and then...
Yeah, so we work with them. I work with some amazing women out there that are super passionate about what they do. And I recently was asked what motivates me to do the work that I do. And I was like, what motivates me is that I get to see miracles every day, small and large. And sometimes that miracle is that a woman chose to show up in the bravest moment, or there is someone got a job. And we've got amazing staff that do amazing things, but I'm like, I told one of our leaders here, I said, you know what? This isn't what we do. This is what God does. And so we do.
You guys are being the hands and feet of Jesus in women's lives that are in a scary, painful, traumatic, and their children too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we do. Right now, today, as of this morning, we have 14 women in our shelter and 8 children. and that fluctuates and changes from day to day. But yeah, we do. We help them get housing. There are some transitional programs out there, but we are really kind of that emergency setting when it's right in the thick of things. You know, we're the ones receiving them coming off those situations.
So is it pretty much people in the Tennessee area, or is it, are they coming? I've always kind of wondered.
That's a great question.
Because say you're in a really high stress, high violent situation, you know, do they leave the state and come here?
Yeah.
Do they leave their place? Do they go far to come to you guys?
Or? Yeah. So we primarily service within the Nashville area. So we are one out of two domestic violence shelters.
There's only two.
There's only two in Nashville. And so there's a great need within our own city. And this is a very prevalent issue within our nation and within our state, within our city.
So what are the statistics right now?
So right now we, unfortunately, Tennessee is in the top five states known for homicide because of domestic violence. Last year alone, there was 111 homicides that were domestic homicides, domestic violence homicides. So it is, it's a really prevalent aspect within Nashville. They say statistically one in four women experience domestic violence within their lifespan. 15 million children in the U.S. a year experience it or witness it firsthand. So this is very much defining people's lives. And this is where somewhere like Morningstar and Agape gets to rewrite someone's story and their truth.
Kind of maybe help break that cycle even.
Absolutely.
With some of the families that come to you and the children see there is hope. There is a life that's not this. And
yeah, we actually just recently did a video and testimonial of one of our survivors that came through our shelter. And she had, I might get this wrong, but I think she had 10 children, 8 or 10 children, and had quite the story and had endured a lot. And to see where her kids are now, I mean, two of her children, I think right now, are on full ride scholarships to college. Oh. You know, I've met her kids. I've met them, and to see them grow and develop. You know, I got a message from one of the staff or one of the ladies that came through our shelter, and she said, "You not only saved my life, you saved my soul." You know, and her little 5-year-old was understandably acting out. I mean, he's in this place where he doesn't know, and it's a lot to process as a little kid. And one day we're kind of working with the mom and the little boy, and he comes to his mom and says, "Mommy, my heart is broken. It's hurting." And she said, "Baby, so is mine, but you can give me your pain." And I'm like, "Oh my word, if that is not the definition of the gospel, like, to I will take your pain." And now she's doing amazing. And, you know, I will get a message that says, like, "You literally saved my life and you saved my soul." And she gets to rewrite this story for herself and her three little boys.
That can't not change you as a person.
Oh, my goodness.
Just witnessing and being a part of that.
It does. I do see people in their hardest places, but those are those moments that you – again, I'm like, God became God. He became real, and
they had an experience.
Yes,
coming to Morningstar, they are able to experience life changing,
absolutely
God inspired hope and a future that he's
and His
got
name
for them.
Wasn't even mentioned. You know, as you kind of referenced, my first job, I didn't get to necessarily mention them. We don't. Go and they don't, I don't sit there and quote scriptures over them. I don't, you know, if they have faith, we talk about it. But simply, hopefully, they encounter something that looks a little different. And I did. I sat with a woman yesterday that was tearful and was trying to break out of that cycle, and we're having conversations about that. And I just grabbed her hand and I said, "Why do you think I'm sitting across from you?" And she said, "Because you see something in me that I don't see in myself." And it is that she's worthy to be invested in, that the words that were spoken over her, the hit and the beating that she experienced, I'm going to speak a greater truth over her. And I don't actually even have to mention the name Jesus. I can just say, like, you're loved and you're safe. And this is what you're worth for. Like, this is what you're worth, and this is what it's worth fighting for. And this is what you're capable of, and this is what I see in you. And never once was the name Jesus. She doesn't know that I go to church on Sunday morning. She doesn't know any of those things, but she now hopefully knows, leaving that moment, that she was worth something.
So Morningstar, it's part of, obviously you work with Metro Nashville. So is it more like a government program where you don't get to really speak into the lives in a way that you're able to bring up God and bring up Jesus? Is it something you have to just show them the love without explaining in detail where that love's coming from? Yeah. Like, how does that
play out?
Yes, how does this work?
Yeah, so we are a federally funded program. So we get federal grants, and so within that there are things that we have restrictions and requirements for.
Okay.
And so yes, faith, we're not a faith-based program where this is, you're going to Bible studies, but our staff,
but you're part of Agape Nashville and it says Christian on it, so it's interesting that you're able to be under the branch of a Christian organization where everybody knows that that's what you're a part of. So I find it really interesting that even in the dark and hard places, God still makes, he'll still make a way, and that sometimes the darkness doesn't have that say, because God's like, nope, I'm going to reach them this way. I think that's really neat that you guys are yet part of the Christian base.
Yeah, and the fact that your story starts that way. So you were trained from the get, like, how to share God's love without having to speak directly to it. Like, you were directly trained for this mission. And to be the hands and feet of Jesus in people's lives on, like you said, on their worst days, and show a light in this darkness, kind of covertly, so to speak.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think there's those moments that you have where, you know, you look at the story of David, and in his own house, he wasn't recognized for what he was going to be. But he had years out in the field where he's slaying a different kind of giant to prepare him for that day. And I think there's these moments with the Lord where we do things where it's not seen.
You know, it doesn't make sense.
And it has a impact. And so, you know, there's moments where, you know, maybe even my staff doesn't see it. But on my first day there, you know, we were, as Agape Morningstar, it was a big undertaking. I mean, I sat in front of our board of directors 2 months into this job and thanked them for their yes to Jesus, their yes to take on this really big, really important project. Yeah. I mean, that just communicates our leaders. But I did, on our first day, I walked through the home and I just prayed over every bed, you know, and just said, like, Jesus, Holy Spirit, will you come here? And I don't know the fruit of that. I don't know necessarily the stories of that. But it's those moments, I think, sometimes where it's unseen that he gets to be made known. And they might not even know the name of who it is, but they experience something that totally is different. And it causes them to ask questions. And when they ask questions, then we can answer them.
So is there any way that people can be involved in supporting Morningstar and supporting, I know there's places where you can drop clothes sometimes that are for domestic violence. I know there are women all the time who are asking, where do I donate my clothes? Like, where do I give, you know, where's the, I have things to give, where, how do I fulfill the needs? So can you tell us a little bit about
that? So I mean, just like your house or my house, there's just basic needs, like the amount of toilet paper and paper towels that we go through and the household items. And so we do, on Agape Nashville's website, we do have kind of like a wish list or an ongoing needs list. And so I will sometimes have church ladies that will be like, our whole entire like women's group is going to get together and donate or purchase these items. We, since Agape has taken on Morningstar Sanctuary's program, we've actually expanded the program. So we are now have more beds and providing more beds than that, than once was for the past 30 years. So the best, we're providing more for this community, which means there's more needs. And so we do, when it comes to clothing and articles of clothing, we, Madison Church of Christ, has a benevolence center that they allow for our women to go in and get what they need. So we partner, we find churches that we partner with.
Okay.
We exist so well because of partnerships with churches. I had some ladies that like that emailed me and said, we have all these freezer meals like that we made. We know that these women are going through a lot. Can we drop off this food that the mother can just put it in the, you know, in the oven? And so there's tons of ways. There's volunteer opportunities. We had a group of people that did some landscaping. Obviously, we are a confidential location, and so there are some things that we have to be mindful of. But there's definitely some ways to get a part and involved in the story of Morningstar and Agape.
So this is at agapenashville.org.
Yes,
correct. And within that, you can find different ways to donate for both Agape Nashville and Morningstar.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, so we have, like I said, foster care and adoptions and then counseling as well. So we kind of touch
just a wide range.
A wide range. I mean, it is phenomenal.
Can we touch upon the part, like, so how women find you if they need you?
Yeah, so I can actually, like I said, our greatest way that people find us is they Google or they have, you know, they have maybe a school social worker or whatever, that kind of stuff, that might kind of get involved. But our hotline is the way that people
And what
get
is your hotline
it number? Is 615-860-0003. Okay. And that is 24 hours a day that our staff are there just to walk through someone through something. Obviously, if we can't help them, we're going to help them find ways that they can get help.
Okay, so even if someone is not, is in a situation and they're not ready to leave or they want to try to work through what they're going through, they can still contact you and get some help, even if they're not looking for a residential place to go?
Yeah, even we do, we'll have people that say, one actually aspect of Morningstar that I haven't touched on, we do have the residential setting, but we also have court advocates, and we work with the Jane Crow Advocacy Center and the Family Safety Center, which is downtown. And those, both of those agencies work with victims of violence and interpersonal violence. And we have court advocates that write orders of protection. They are there all throughout the night and on the weekends. And basically what an order of protection is, it's a legal document that helps someone when they're experiencing that violence to have a kind of a legal way to stand, to have some distance from their abuser that can allow them to take some legal action. And so
how do they go about getting this protection?
Yeah, so during the day, like I said, Jane Crow Center.
Jane Crow.
And it's right off of downtown, right off by the courthouse, off of James Robertson. Is that James Robertson? I may have to correct you on that. And then the Family Safety Center, which is downtown, and that is 610 Murfreesboro Pike, and that's okay. Right downtown Nashville. And that is also a great location and space for anyone that's going through interpersonal violence. They can get orders of protection and legal aid and just all the things that
you have
kind of...
so many resources mm-hmm. for people. Yes. And mm-hmm. you guys are an amazing, amazing group.
Because you're government funded, are cops allowed to refer people to mm-hmm. you too?
Yeah.
And so,
absolutely. Yeah. So we did back in July, we had our shelters like about a mile away from one of the precincts, and so we had some officers come out and they did some training with our staff and just built relationship. A lot of times we actually hold the bed for Metro Police, so if they arrive on the scene and they obviously see something, what they sometimes arrive on the scene for is what we call higher risk cases, and so they know who we are. We work and collaborate with them, and they give us a call,
so they can point,
and we can, and they will bring. I've had officers on our site dropping off family members and things like that, and we have a really great relationship with our Metro Police and what they do and the services they provide in this community. We couldn't do it without those officers that are protecting people.
Well, I love how you work both with the government and you work with mm-hmm. with all the Christians that want to pour into you guys, and through the counseling services that you can point them in the direction to Jesus after they're done with you. You're like, hey, you could go over here. Yeah. So that's awesome that you provide so many services in the moment. Like, you guys are crisis mode, right there, ready to help, and then beyond. So thank you so much for your time and telling us all about Morningstar Sanctuary and all about you, and just, I don't know, it's wonderful. So thank you so much.
It was a privilege. It's an honor to do this work.
What a sweet and genuine woman. We hope you enjoyed this week's interview. Check out the show notes for the websites that she was referring to. And you can always find everything at pursuingtruenorth.com. Also, their hotline that she was talking about, that's 24/7, is 615-860-0003. And we will have that all in the show notes for you. Have a great week.